Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The election results are in, but President Trump and a number of his supporters are standing by their false claims of a fraudulent election. Multiple fraud claims have made their way to court, and those cases have shown no voter fraud and no change in measurable results. That doesn't mean that the Trump legal team is done trying. Lisa Hager is an assistant professor of political science at South Dakota State University, and Dave Wiltsey is an associate professor of political science also at SDSU. They are our political science profs, and they join us today to unpack some of the latest. Dr. Wiltsey, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Hager, welcome as well.
Good morning.
All right, let's talk about the fact, and Dave, we'll start with you. Accusations that this was a fraudulent election or that there was widespread voter fraud began weeks before the election. Tell us a little bit about how the run-up to the election was a little bit different this year in that regard.
Well, this has been something that the president has always been trying to prime his supporters on. That, you know, this dates back all the way to 2016 when he was asked in a debate, will you accept the results of the election if you lose? And he said, well, I'll accept them if I win, but not lose. And it's been a repeated theme of his to, you know, constantly try to undermine our sense of security and undermine our sense of legitimacy in the electoral system in the event that he come out on the wrong end. And what we're seeing is just a natural outgrowth of that, that many in the party, most in the party, when it comes to elected officials, are falling in line with that mantra or at least staying silent on it. And in the end, this is, you know, this can be a pretty damaging thing for the quality of a democracy when you have that many people just begin to question the very security of our electoral system.
Lisa, I want to walk people through in case, you know, there's the news is like a whiplash lately, and you might be paying attention to something and then, you know, you haven't thought about it for a while. But this notion of calling the election and when the, you know, results are certified and when the Electoral College meets, walk us through a little bit of the American process that has not changed in 2020. But perhaps people weren't paying as close attention to some of the ways this unfolds. Tell us, you know, procedurally, constitutionally, how does this work?
Yeah. Why some of this has been working for the Trump administration and Trump supporters is because there's a fundamental misunderstanding about how elections are actually run in this country. And that's why we saw major news networks really kind of walking people through how absentee voting works, how absentee voting boards go through and count those votes outside of the election that's being run on Election Day, because there's a difference between voting in person at the polls and how ballots are counted when you have voted early in person and by mail. And so I think that's kind of the first thing that people don't understand, which has allowed some of these claims that there's been a fraudulent election run rampant. And I think if more people were kind of looking into how that process worked and reading some of the very good articles that have been put out by various news outlets, they would start to realize that the claims of the Trump administration have been baseless. Any sorts of things that they have been able to find with respect to some inconsistencies with software programs have been corrected, have not been found to have changed the outcome of elections in any given state, at least at this point in time. You know, and that's really kind of been reflected in the Trump administration's work toward trying to stop various things from happening in the court. So now they've been kind of switching gears recently, you know, court cases relating to stopping states from certifying their results. That's what we saw with Pennsylvania and some of the flubs that Rudy Giuliani made in front of the judge there. So I think that there's just some misunderstandings about how our election system works, which causes people to possibly believe or at least think that there's maybe something questionable going on when this is politics, this is election procedure as usual. So right now we're just waiting for all of the states to certify their election results so we can move forward with those electors actually casting their votes in the Electoral College, which will then be counted in a joint session of Congress, and we'll have those results actually formalized.
Let's go back on something
Lisa said there. We're beginning to see a politicization of a lot of these very dry bureaucratic routines like election certification. The news is just breaking now that the president directly intervened, calling the Wayne County, Michigan board who certifies elections there to intercede and stop the certification process as if it's just another point in the political process. I mean, this is something that we've never really seen. We've never seen an attempt to politicize these sorts of procedures in such a brash way. And this, you know, this is going to have some serious effects downstream.
Yeah, let's talk about exactly how that certification works, because when you look at elections previously, from the Secretary of State in South Dakota, I mean, there's a seal and it's been certified and the Secretary of State has signed it. What exactly does it mean to certify the results, Lisa?
Well, they're just aggregating. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. All the Secretary of State is doing is aggregating the results from all the different counties, conducting an audit to make sure the procedures were followed and there weren't any errors clear in the procedures, and just moving it on to give that official seal. So we've done this before. This is just the way it's always worked, and there's always been a several week period between the initial vote and that final certification. And it varies a lot from state to state and county to county. We're just paying attention to it now because of the things that are happening with the politicization of this of electoral procedure now.
Yeah. All right. So I want to go back to something that you said about the president intervening. We've heard about Lindsey Graham, making phone calls, and Democrats are crying foul. Who can make a phone? I mean, what is interference? What is intervening? What is just asking the question that we're all allowed to ask? Sort of parse that out for us a little bit. Lisa Hager, let's start with you. As far as what constitutes an intervention and what constitutes just I have a right to know what's happening in this location.
Right. So I think the biggest question that has arisen has been what Lindsey Graham has been doing, where he is saying, I'm just asking questions. I am not trying to intervene in any way and tell states not to certify their results or anything like that. But I think just the mere factor that you have high-ranking politicians within the federal government beginning to interfere in something that has been solely left up to the states creates questions among people. As of right now, we're not necessarily seeing anything occur in light of some of these actions. Yeah, it's creating some delay with the certification of results, the same thing with the various lawsuits coming out of the Trump campaign. But we're not seeing anything necessarily change in light of this. It's just politicizing this process to the point where it's alienating to people, especially those who are Biden supporters or have a better understanding of how our elections are actually run, and know that there, at least as of right now, has not been any sort of wrongdoing with respect to elections. And then it just tends to feed the fire of those who do have some questions about what's occurred with this election, which is really not productive in light of the current political climate and the need to transition to a Biden administration and have that be a clean transition.
Yeah, we'll talk about that transition here in just a minute, but I want to go back to those court cases, because many of them have been brought in front of a judge without any credible evidence. Is the point, Dave Wilsey, to say there are, court cases going forward, and then even if you can't even make the allegations when you get there, that doesn't matter? What's the strategy here for bringing court cases? if you have no evidence that there has been any kind of fraud?
If there's a strategy, I really can't see it. I'm really at a loss for, you know, why they're going into these courts with a, you know, one public face that is screaming fraud, etc. And then once they get into the courtroom, they can bring no credible allegations of any kind of wrongdoing. I mean, even these cases that were concerning election observers, where once the lawyers were in front of the judge and the judge asks very pointed questions, well, did you have observers in this room? I'm asking you as an officer of the court, where lying to a judge will really bring some serious consequences. And the lawyers almost always break down and say, well, no, we don't have evidence. For the life of me, don't understand exactly what they're trying to do with this, other than just trying to undermine the process altogether and allow for some kind of post-presidential presence for the president, as either he thinks about 2024 or how he might be able to wield influence after the election. Because at this rate, they are not going to change the outcome of this thing.
Lisa mentioned something about, you know, people who understand how elections are run. Senator John Thune, Senator Mike Grounds, Congressman Desi Johnson, Governor Kristi Noem, these are people who understand how elections are run. And their statements have ranged from simply, we count every legal vote, to allegations of fraud from Governor Noem. When we look to these people and say, how do we interpret what they're saying is what I'm really getting at. How do we interpret the messages that we're hearing from them? What does that messaging mean? And what does it tell us about what's happening inside the Republican Party right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would say what we're seeing is these politicians within the Republican Party not wanting to alienate Trump supporters, because most likely those same supporters support them as well. So they are kind of taking this even-handed approach of saying, we are going to ensure that all legal votes are counted, which allows people to say, yeah, I think that there are some fraudulent votes floating around out there. So it allows them to basically say, we're going to make sure that we get to the bottom of this and things like that. So it really allows people to continue having whatever view they might have about this election within the Republican Party. And it allows them to, you know, continue to kind of, you know, gain supporters, keep their supporters. So with Kristi Noem in particular, you know, she will be going up for re-election. Now that Trump wasn't elected, we can assume she will not be pegged for a cabinet position. And so, again, she's got to kind of circle her wagon back to being re-elected as governor. And so, you know, playing along the Republican lines with some of these comments are what will help her best politically.
Yeah, and to be clear, everyone's statement, or they're not really statements, but the comments have been sort of nuanced. Senator John Thune on the floor of the Senate said, votes are still being counted or will soon be recounted in many states. The presidential race has yet to be certified. It's important to remember that while media outlets can predict the winner, official results come later. And then he talked about partisan, gamesmanship after that. So there's no concession here, and there's a general sense that that those votes need to be certified before anything happens next. But, Dave, we'll see what's happening in the meantime, because in a different year, funds would be released to the president-elect's transition team. Information would be shared. Briefings would be shared. What's not happening because this process is still ongoing?
Yeah, most of those things related to the transition not happening as they should. But I think the most important thing that is happening is, even though they are taking, you know, as you said, nuanced statements and whatnot related to the recount and the certification process, even though they are nuanced, they are actively undermining our faith in democratic institutions. And when it comes to elections, I mean, this is just so key to a healthy democracy. And these are things that are largely outside of the Constitution, assumptions that we make as citizens in a democracy, that if you start really fundamentally questioning the very process of counting votes, and the thing that just, you know, separates a democratic system from a non-democratic system, you know, you are really doing a disservice to the quality of our democracy when you can really, you know, just kind of sustain and foster this kind of paranoia about the legitimacy of an election. And we really have not seen something like this, certainly in my lifetime. And I can't think of another circumstance short of the Civil War where we have, you know, questioned the institutions in this way. And that's just, they're doing a tremendous disservice to the country by doing this.
How long can it go on? Like, reasonably, each state is going to certify their elections at some point. There might be, tell me if I'm wrong here, but there might be some legal, you know, cases that have to be dealt with. But those certifications, the Electoral College still has to meet, and Congress still has to do their work on certain days, right? Is it December 14th that the Electoral College gathers? What can get, is it done then? Can it keep going then? What do you predict?
I mean, my prediction is we'll continue to see these various lawsuits relating to states certifying their results. There's really nothing that has come of those thus far, again, because there's no evidence of some sort of wrongdoing or fraudulent vote counts or anything like that. So, you know, really, I believe after we have the Electoral College casting their ballots, them being counted, you know, in that joint session of Congress, like, I really think at that point it will be over in terms of this is officially what's happening. That doesn't mean that we still won't have rhetoric coming out of the Trump administration until President Trump leaves office, that there still won't be grumblings among Republicans. But as far as actually moving forward with the procedures that are in place, I believe that once we actually have the Electoral College being finished, that's when we'll see at least these challenges within the legal system ending.
Yeah, and Lisa can correct me on this, but yeah, you know, Lisa knows, you know, this constitutional law better than I do. But I, as I recall from the Bush versus Gore case, one of the reasons the Supreme Court shut down the Florida recount is because it was in danger of passing that December deadline to actually count the Electoral College. So at least there's this little bit of precedent that says, yeah, anything that you're going to bring up, this is a hard deadline that you have to meet. After that, I think Lisa's right. It's not going to make a difference in terms of the election's outcome, but it will certainly have an impact on the way we, you know, just the quality of our democracy and the way that we conduct elections in the future.
To move forward, when that happens, and that date will come, we believe, what do we need to hear from people like Senator John Thune and others about the next steps? As they have said, every legal vote must be counted, which is, it seems like a very safe thing to say. At some point, do they need to say, every legal vote has been counted, this is the election result, and now we move on? Like, how strong do they need to come out and say, this is the moment?
It needs to be unequivocal. I mean, they just have to put an end to this. Again, they're not serving anyone by doing this other than some narrow political interests for future elections. It just it's just too potentially damaging to our political culture to fundamentally question the most important democratic procedures that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with Dave. They need to ensure that Americans have the thought that our institutions and the way our procedures take place are legitimate, because continuing to have these questions of things not being legitimate is very damaging. And it doesn't serve them in any particular way, because at the end of the day, we need to go back to, you know, what do you want to have happen with respect to policy? Is that more of a Democratic platform or a Republican platform? You don't need to be pandering to some of these conspiracy theories and viewpoints that are really based on just not having a basic understanding of how elections are run. You know, instead you need to go back to more of politics as usual.
Yeah. Lisa Hager, Assistant Professor of Political Science at SDSU, and Dave Wiltsy, Associate Professor of Political Science at SDSU. Professor Hager, thanks so much for being here with us. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks for having me.
Professor Wiltsy as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Laurie.